This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, with 2010 Lucerne, London Symposium. What am I calling this here? Proposition. Proposition. Proposition, it is done now. How can you say it is done now? We've talked about this because they've said that it's thoughts. But how can you say it is done now and be comfortable with saying it is done now when it is obviously not done now? When you obviously do not have what you want. You have the appearance of lack. You have the appearance of a broken leg. You have the appearance of a problem. You have the appearance of neighbors that are not harmonious with you. You have appearance of all sorts of things. How can you say it is done now when that appearance, contrary to what you're saying, exists? Now, I know you're sitting there with bated breath saying to yourself, I wonder how he's going to tell us the answer to that question. And you're saying, he's probably going to tell us that it's our thoughts or things and that it is done now is, and I'm not going to say any of that stuff. Now, we live in a universe. And that universe is a plus and a minus universe. It has pluses and it has minuses. It has pluses we call good, and it has minuses we call not good. It has pluses we call beneficial, it has minuses we call non-beneficial. Okay, now, we live in a universe that has those things in it. Now, yours and mine is the choice to say which one we will accept. Do you want a plus or you want a minus? What do you want? Do you want the plus or minus as your reality in life? Now, if you say to a little boy, you're stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid, just say it to him all the time. He comes in the house, you stupid kid. And the last time parents even joke about this, how's my stupid little kid, you know? How's that stupid little kid, you've heard the phrase, a stupid little kid. That's a stupid little kid. That stupid little kid doesn't know beans about anything. That stupid little kid, that stupid little kid. And that's you saying that, those things. That's you saying these things. And within no time at all, that child will become a stupid little kid because he will live up to what's expected of him. He'll live up to what our acclamation of him is, a stupid little kid. And it does not have to be that way, but that's the way we have pronounced it. That's the way we have proclaimed it. It is done according to how we proclaim it. Now, how do you want to proclaim it? How do you want to proclaim who you are and what you are? How do you want to proclaim anything in life? Yeah. How do you want to proclaim it? Now, the same thing. Your child shows just a wee little bit of goodness, a wee little bit of happiness or success, and you say, wow, that's so wonderful, that's so wonderful, I'm so happy for you. You know, a tiny little bit, the guy took out his handkerchief and blew his nose instead of blowing his nose in his hand or something like that, you know. I have a lady who likes to pull out her achoo, into her dress. Achoo, achoo, achoo. And I think to myself, oh my goodness sakes, you know, that is so gross, so utterly ugly, you know. If she pulls out her handkerchief and blows her nose, the same thing. She's blowing her nose and putting her handkerchief back in her pocket. It's the same thing as going on down her blouse, you know. But blowing down her blouse is something that is not accepted. You see what I mean? It's not in itself really bad, but it's just not accepted. It's not accepted to do that. But it is accepted to blow your nose in your handkerchief, and it's accepted to go in the other room and blow your nose, you know. And it's accepted not to pick your teeth at the table, but to pick your teeth afterwards, you know. And why isn't it acceptable to pick your teeth at the table? Well, that's just something we have done. We've said that. We do it, but we have said that. Now, why do we say these things? And why does we don't follow through with things that we say? We know that you don't do that. But why do you do it? Why do we do it? Why do we go contrary to what we know we don't do? Now, it's not that it's wrong. Not that it's right. It's just, according to tradition, you don't do that. See? You understand? Okay, now, when we say it's done, what we have planted is not necessarily some great philosophical concept, what it really is. It is merely an incident or an activity that we want to create in a certain way. So if we have this child, and this child is a child, a malleable, moldable, formable child, the formidable age, they say, you know, that this child is ready to be formed into whatever he's ready to be formed into. Now, he's going to be formed into whatever we do around him, in his presence, in his world, whatever we have him do. So if the child comes in the room, and he's got dirty shoes on, and muddy shoes, and he's tracking it in on the carpet, and we say to him, "Oh, you are so thoughtful. I noticed you were going to take your shoes off at the door, and you're going to leave them at the door so you wouldn't track mud all over the wall floor. You are so thoughtful. Oh, I just am so happy with you." And if he does it, fine. If he doesn't do it, fine. But each time he comes in, you say that. Each time he comes in, you remark that he does the right thing. Each time he comes in, you remark that he is a beautiful being. And sometimes it may only take one time to do it. Sometimes it may take a dozen times. But whatever it takes, you give it. Whatever affirmation you use with that youngster, you use it enough and enough and enough until it finally gets through. Now, you know yourself you have to use affirmations with yourself sometimes more than once. So why are you surprised you're using this affirmation more than once with a child? So you say, "I know how much it means to you to help me keep the house clean and looking nice. How much you like to save me the work of bringing out the vacuum cleaner every time you come in the house with your muddy feet. I know how much it means to you. And hey, maybe you'd like to learn how to use the vacuum cleaner." He's 4 years old now. "Maybe you'd like to learn." "Oh yeah, I'd like that. I'd like that, you know." "Well, get it out and let's see how you do, you know. But better take off those dirty shoes first, because otherwise you're going to have more to vacuum. And as you vacuum, you'll be making more behind your path." "And oh, yeah, that's right, that's right, you know. And hey, I got an idea. Ugo, we'll call him Ugo, you know. Ugo, let's keep a pair of slippers, house shoes, by the door. And when we come in from outdoors, we slip off of our shoes, the outdoor shoes, and we slip on our slippers or our indoor shoes, and we walk around in the house with our indoor shoes on. That's what you always try to get me to do down at your house. I don't always do it, but I'm pretty close." So Ugo says, "Yeah, I don't want to, you know, no, it's all right. Ugo, whenever you come in the house, slip on your slippers. They're right there by the door. I put them there for you so it'd be nice for you. And I love them because my feet are always so cozy when I slip my slippers on after I had the outdoor shoes on. Ugo, put on the slippers. Ugo, put on the slippers. Ugo, oh, Ugo, you're so thoughtful. You're always doing wonderful things for me. I'm so proud of you. Ugo, 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 Ugo." And maybe it takes once or twice. Maybe it takes a dozen. Maybe it takes 100 times. It doesn't matter. But in your mind, it's already done. In your mind, you see him doing it. And just because the obvious appearance is that he's not doing it, doesn't mean that he's not doing it. He has a seed in his consciousness which is growing, which is maturing, and which is developing to the point where he will do that in a beautiful, sensitive, joyful way, not fighting you, not being angry with you before because you tell him what to do, but in a beautiful, joyful, sharing way. Now, husbands are the same way. Husbands are trainable just like children are trainable. You know, you can tell them what things you'd like to do and how you'd like to do things, and they will do it the way they want to do it. But if you keep expecting them, but not bitching at them, just expecting them, saying nice things to them, "You're always so thoughtful. I really appreciate the idea that you want to always make everything easier for me. You always want to make everything more harmonious for me. You are so proud of the fact that I keep a clean house that you want to keep it clean too, you know, and so forth and so on. And you see, you just do all these things, and this is just positive thinking. And before you know it, you have that fulfillment. Now,
how does that work when you got a broken leg?
Well, it works the same way. It works the same way. You say, my leg is whole and perfect. My leg is whole and perfect. Now, if you have learned your lesson, if you have learned your lesson well, goodbye, Chrissy. See? If you have learned your lesson well, there's no need for the hospitals anymore. Because you say, you're whole and perfect. When the child comes in and has a broken leg, you say, you're whole and perfect. The leg is whole and perfect. No doctors, no nurses, no hospitals, no nothing, because it's done. And that's the essence of it. It is done. Now, it's not a matter that you can do it or you can't do it. It's a matter that if you will practice, if you will train yourself in this treatment, if you will train yourself in this statement, in this affirmation, then the affirmation functions for you. But if you don't train yourself in the affirmation, it doesn't function for you. Not because it doesn't work, but because you still believe it has to take so long to heal and so long to do this and do that. And then, after a while, young lady, you'll say, I surround my son with my pure white light of love. All his ways are peace and all his paths are pleasantness. He'll go out to play and he'll come home perfect in every way. He'll have no broken leg. He'll have no dirty feet. He'll have no messy things to work with. He won't even have to learn to take his shoes off the door. He'll just take it off. He'll take off all his clothes at the door and leave them there and put on his house coat, you know, and come in the house and just be so happy, so happy. And all of the dirty clothes and all the dirty shoes are sitting there at the door. Now, you can have a hamper there. You can plan a few things there. But the point is, you put a cause in motion. What's the cause, Chrissy?
I surround my world with pure white light of love. All my ways are peace. All my paths are pleasantness. And the way is clear and open before me.
Now that's one of them. Mm-hmm. Now, when a child or a parent or somebody's coming in the house and in and out and playing, you say to your child, I surround you with my pure white light of love, and you are absolutely perfect right now. All your ways are pure. You see, you don't say you don't have a broken leg. You don't say you're dirty. You don't say these things, but you just say all is in divine order. All is in divine order. So should they ever have a problem like that, but they won't. When you're surrounding them with your pure white light of love, what happens?
Everything good.
They're surrounded with the pure white light of love. Mm-hmm. Everything is good. Everything is perfect. Their bodies are perfect, their minds are perfect, their experiences are perfect, everything is perfect. And this is what we want to do. Now, how do we do it? Just by saying it. Just by saying it. Now, you may have to say it for 6 weeks for the leg to heal. You know? Or you may have to say it for 1 second and then it's done. It all depends on how well you have trained yourself in that affirmation. How well you have repeated that affirmation and made it yours. And made it yours. Now, in a lecture on psychology that I read recently, the talk was given by a man who's into the mind and thinking and into how the mind functions. And he said, when you or anybody is asked a question, and you say, you look up at the sky, you know, you look up at nowhere. What you are doing is you are closing off the lower level of your thinking and you're into your mental thinking. See, you know how people do that? Mm-hmm. Let's see, 2 times 2 is what? Four. You know, you say, well, that's so simple. Okay. What is the best way to heal a cold? I surround myself with my pure white light of love, and all my ways are peace, and all my paths are pleasantness. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Oh, yes, yes. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. There's no place for a cold. There's no place for anything that's imperfect, and no place for anything that's not beneficial to me. You follow? Now, you see, you look, oh, yes, you know, as though you're catching it out of the infinite. Mm-hmm. And you are. You're catching it. You're not going to your brain. Your brain has your conditional, functional ways of doing things, you know, your traditional ways, your autonomic nervous system, and all that other good stuff. But you're looking into your brain. You're looking into your mind. You're looking into the infinite cosmos of your thinking and your ability to think. And you're saying, all is in divine order. Yes, I am divine order. I am peace. I am glorious. And you see, as you say these things, those things demonstrate themselves in your life, and fantastically. Now, do you want that? Sure, I want that. My goodness, yes, I want that. No, you don't. If you wanted it, you would have done that. Now, you know, I say to myself, all is in divine order, right?
Yes.
You know that? Do you know that?
Yes, I do.
Do you know that? Well, why don't you say it? Why don't you say it? Every time something comes to your consciousness that says you're wondering, I know. Every time something comes to your consciousness and you say, well, let's see, what would Herb like for lunch? What would Herb like for supper? What would Herb like for breakfast? What would Herb like to sleep on? Would he like to sleep on the floor or the bed? Or would he like to have a nice comfy or a nice this or that? What would Herb like to enjoy? Would he like a drive in the country? And would he like to go see a Wimbledon match? Would he like to do this? Would he like to do that? No. You know, and you know that. And you just ask yourself these questions, and you know. You know without even having me answer it. You know. And what would you like to eat? You know. I mean, we've been around a long time together, and you have a general idea of the things I like, and it doesn't matter, really, because I eat most anything that's served. But the thing is, some things I like, and some things are a pleasure for me, and some things I eat because I feel that's beneficial to me. So, okay, now, you know it. You know it. Not because you told yourself, but because intuitively you knew it. Now, some of you, Chrissy says, well, let's see, Herb, I am going to give you some chocolate, some wonderful chocolate. And so she gives me this bowl of berries, beautiful berries, which are anything but chocolate. Well, now, how does the berries taste to me? How do they taste?
Beautiful.
They were chocolate.
Chocolate, yeah.
They were chocolate because she made them that way.
Yes.
And do you think I enjoyed them?
Yes.
Thoroughly. Yes, that's right, thoroughly. Because they were chocolate. And now, were they ipso facto chocolate? No, but they were chocolate because we named them that. Because that was a beautiful thing to do. Now, I come here and you give me European English chocolate, and I go to Switzerland and they give me Swiss chocolate, and I go home and they give me other chocolates, and I say to them, boy, I love chocolate, but I really should not eat that much of it. And so, but it's wonderful. Everything you're doing out of your heart. You know. But you also know, because you're much like myself, you are called Mr. Abundance or Miss Abundance. When I fill a glass, I usually fill it right to the top. You know, so you have to pick it up very carefully to drink it and not spill it. But I don't fill it much anymore. But normally, I used to do that. I fill it right to the top. He'll say, well, what are you filling so full? Well, I'm just Mr. Abundance, that's all. You know, everything I do it with abundance. I do it with goodness and with fantastic qualities, you know. And I enjoy people who go into a restaurant, half a cup of coffee, please. Well, no, let them put the full cup of coffee in there and mix whatever you want in it. And if you don't drink it all, you paid for it. It's your business. You don't have to drink it. You have to take what you want. And maybe you want a sip more than a half a cup. And then you'll have it. Or maybe you didn't want even a half a cup. You don't have to drink it. Just leave it there. And if they come around and refill your cups and you didn't ask them to, and they just refill them, and you're ready to leave, and there's a table set with everybody's coffee cup almost full because they just filled it, that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. And live in abundance. Live in abundance, even though the abundance is, what might you say, useless abundance? Abundance that's not beneficial to you? But how do you do it? It is done. It is done. You live in the awareness that everything is done. Everything is fulfilled. Everything is magnificent. What is today? Today is Monday. Today is a day of happiness. Today is a day of peace, just like every day is. And today is a day where we're having an exciting journey into our mind, into our awareness, and we're saying, yes, that's where it's all at. That's where it's all at. Yes, it's happy time. Yes, everybody likes to live in their mind, and everybody living in their mind is happy. Everybody living in their mind is fulfilled. Everybody living in their mind is abundant. Everybody living in their mind has good friendships and good relationships. Everybody living in their mind keeps their nose to themselves, you know. They don't stick their nose in other people's business. Everybody living in their mind is so busy with their own life, with their own happiness, and creating everybody in their world just like them. Beautiful, happy, abundant, joyful. And this is the reality of it's done. Now, you can't have that if you're not going to have it first in yourself. First it comes in yourself, and you say, it is done. You say, I am happy. I am whole and perfect. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Every organ, action, function in my body is perfect right now. I am the happiest man in the universe. Of course, you might say the happiest woman, but I am the happiest man and the woman in the universe. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful because I don't have to prove myself to anybody. I don't have to tell anybody. And people say, Herb, you're a philosopher? I say, yep. What do you teach? I teach philosophy. Well, whose philosophy? Mine. And, you know, I say, you know, I have the easiest job in the world. I don't have to remember what I said. Because I always say the same thing. I always say the same. I have the same consistent belief about myself. I don't say one minute that right is wrong and wrong is right, and then wrong is right and right is wrong. I don't have that problem. Because all the time, I'm always saying the right thing in the right way at the right time for the right purpose for me. I'm saying all of my lectures that I ever give, I'm giving to myself. And I'm saying to myself, before I give any talk or any lecture, I say, this will be the most fantastic lecture I've ever given. It'll just excite me so much. I will have so much fun with it because it is me sharing whatever comes out of my heart, what comes out of my soul, what comes out of my mind, which comes out of my being. And it is so great and so wonderful. And I will be in with a group of people who will inspire me because they are so filled with light and love themselves. And they just think, yes, we're mutual minds. We think alike. We have that same consciousness. We're both, we're all beautiful beings who just, you know, think alike. And that's good. But isn't that easy? That's easy, isn't it? Because I don't have to worry about a thing. I don't have to worry about a thing. And I know what I'm thinking about. My thoughts, I may just put down a title, you know, so at least I keep a consistency for your thinking, you know, later on. But it's great. It's great. And it's done. Every talk I ever give is done before I give it. And as I give it, I'm listening to myself giving it and saying, that's interesting. You know, that's nice. Yeah, you're consistent, Herb. That's fantastic, yeah. Herb, you're the most wonderful guy. Herb, I'm glad I joined you. I'm glad that I'm in your body. I'm glad that I chose to live with you. You know, I'm glad that I'm that consciousness that chose it. And then when I'm glad I create the people I create about me. Because like you guys, I create you about me because you're so super fantastic. You're so open, so receptive, so joyous. You respond back to me because we are of a mutual mind. We think the same thoughts. We think the same ideas. We have the same convictions. We have the same beliefs. And as we have the same beliefs, I merely come along like a gadfly to sort of bite you to remind you to do it and say, wake up, you know, and look at how wonderful the world is. Look how wonderful life is. And you look how wonderful life is and how wonderful the world is, and you say, gee, it's been like this all the time, hasn't it? I'm opening my eyes and I'm seeing it now. It's been like this all the time, and it's really fantastic. And that's the truth. It's really fantastic. Now, are you ready to have it be fantastic?
It is.
Yes, it is. It is. Thank you. It is. It is done. It is done. Now, you have to proclaim that to yourself constantly, because your observation of the appearances around you tell you sometimes that it appears like it's not done, you know? But it's done. If you look at the appearances and you see that something is in a work in progress, as the term goes, then it's a work in progress. But are you? Are you Michelangelo's statue of David in progress or done?
Done.
Where did Michelangelo's David come from? His consciousness. Was it done in his consciousness?
Yes.
Do you think he improved on it as it came out?
No.
All he did was to reveal what he had in his consciousness through the stone that he was working on. And why did they tell him that it wouldn't work? They told Michelangelo that he could not bring a David out of that stone because that stone was a rejected stone from the quarry because it had some imperfections in it. And you know what Michelangelo did? He worked right around the imperfections, and he made the imperfections perfect. And that's what we do. Sometimes we get something that is not quite what we thought, but it brings a challenge out in us. The challenge of our doing something in a way that we never dreamed of doing, our doing something in a manner that brings out something that is absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Now you can do that. And I can do that. And we can all do that. Now do you want to?
Done.
It's done.
It is done.
It's done. Well, let's see how we're doing here. Looks like we're pretty close. Oh, a couple minutes yet that we can share. What are ways that you would make it done? What are ways you'd make it done? Think of it and tell me what's. And what are ways that you would make it done? For instance, if you wanted to say that you have the ideal home.
I affirm it.
Okay,
affirm all the time.
Affirm it.
See it done.
Yeah, well, what do you say about your home? What affirmation do you use?
I have my perfect home right now.
I have my perfect home right now. That's fine. Any other way you might say it? I live in my ideal home. Now, do you know what your ideal home is? No, you don't have to. But it'd be good, isn't it? If you say it's ideal, it's going to be good. Okay, I live in my ideal home now. And that's wonderful, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, that's a good way to get to your home, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's done, isn't it?
Done.
Yeah, okay, but so long as you hold on to the idea and saying, I live in my ideal home right now, you have it. The moment you change your mind, the moment you change the rules of the game, then you won't have it. You may have something else that's equally good or beautiful, but it's not your ideal. Because your ideal is ideal. Your ideal is not whatever it might appear to be. Your ideal is the ideal. Now, what is that ideal? We don't give it a second thought. We just know it's perfect. Do you ever, what did you say about Choma's first house?
This is your house.
This is your house. This is ideal.
Yeah.
This is ideal. For this point in time in your consciousness and for this program that you have established for yourself, that the limitation of money that you chose to spend on it, you're only going to get a $30,000 place instead of an $80,000 place. You know?
Yes.
So it's what you chose. So this is your ideal house at $30,000.
Now.
Now. Now. This is your ideal home now.
Now.
Now. Do you get the point?
Yes.
Okay. You see, so that takes away a lot of the burden of figuring out what to work.
Mm.
All right, now, when you got this place, did you say to yourself, I live in my ideal place now, or I live in my ideal home now, or all is in divine order now, or did you have to fight a little bit? Did you have to run around and fight, and did you have to check things out, and did you have to ask questions, or did you have to, and you were so proud of telling how you worked with this guy and worked with that guy, and how they gave you a hard time and they didn't want to do it, and then other people helped you do it, and then you ended up doing it. Now, you see, now all that is good. All that is good. But all that is bad. Because what you really want to say is,
I have my perfect home. I have my ideal home now.
Okay. I wanted that now. Okay. I have my ideal home now. Now, if you had just walked around like a chicken with a head in a cloud, you know, and saying, I have my ideal home now. I have my ideal home now. Would you have it?
Yes.
Did you have to do all of the manipulations and fighting that you did?
No.
And you did those things merely because other people were being helpful to you and or being hinderful to you, whatever, and they wanted you to stay where you were, they wanted you to do this or that. But the thing is, you were consistent. You weren't saying, I have my perfect home now, but you were thinking, I want this house because I like it. Which is a good start, you know. But if you say, I have my perfect home now, and let it alone. But just say, I have my perfect home. And then accept it. Then the house comes along, and you think, that's my perfect home? Yes, it is. Buy it. Move in. And as you buy it and move in, the people who sell it to you get themselves a better home. They get a much bigger home, more beautiful home, and then they say to you, after the first year, they say, Chrissy, would you mind selling us back our old house, and we'll sell you our new house. You just take over the payments because you can afford it, and then you can have our new house, which is like three times as nice as the one that you have now. And you say, ooh, how about that? Yes. You know, you always say yes. And then you move into their house, and the house is refinanced because the market is down, and they give you the market is up, so they refinance it at a better rate and so forth, and you have a little extra money even, and the whole thing, it works out just beautiful for you. But everything works out beautiful for you because you said, I have my perfect place now. And each step goes along, and you have your perfect place. Now, what would have happened if you had gotten yourself a lovely house with five bedrooms? Then you would have five chiomas staying with you, enjoying living there with you. Wouldn't that be fascinating? Yes. But you see, never say, I don't need it. I don't need a bigger place. I don't need more room. I don't need this. I don't need that. Because who knows what great things your mind has in store for you if you would let go and let it happen. And let it be now. Right now. So, can you conceive of these things happening?
You sure can.
It's done. Okay. Well, now let it happen. Let it happen. See, if you had the five bedrooms and you didn't have a place for Sybil to come and stay with you, you'd have a place for Chioma and Igube to come and live there. And, of course, they would rather have their own home and so forth, because they don't need a nanny around 100% of the time. Because everybody's got their own way of operating their house. Of maintaining their house and keeping up their kitchens and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Not that they're against anything, it's just that they got to be themselves.
I am free.
Exactly. I am free, like she almost said when she left home the first time. I am free. Now, she was free. Well, what Chioma did was to get unmarried. Chioma had been married, and she was living in her married house. And she chose to be free from her marriage of her parents and chose to be on her own. And she didn't have to report in anymore to her mother. She didn't have to report in to her dad. She didn't have to do it according to their standards. She always learned all the good standards. But she did what she wanted to do herself. She was herself. This is my home. And I have to maybe take care of the babysitter, or I maybe have to take care of Ibu Bay in some way, but that's okay. That's my plan. program, and I like it. And you see how it works? Mm-hmm. And we all like to say, I am free. Yeah. It's a wonderful life that we live. We do beautiful things. All right, have yourself a lovely noon hour. I love you.
I love you too.